Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Philip, would you like to pray for us? Amen. That reminds me, Michael, we have this mic now, don't we? Use this here. It says it's on. Oh, there we go. Here we go. If we have any questions or if I ask you to pray or whatever, hopefully we can use that. Now, in starting a new semester with a summer off, I think it's always good to just be reminded what Gibbs is all about. So let me just go over this quickly with you, since you've been in Gibbs for a number of years. But let's just remember what our objectives are. First of all, ultimately, the purpose of the Grace Institute of Biblical Studies is designed to glorify God through equipping believers to be faithful servants, key word, and clear teachers, other key phrase, of the gospel of grace and the scriptures, verse by verse, through the faithful exposition of His Word. It's all about equipping you to be a faithful servant and an effective communicator of the Word of God. And thus a graduate of Gibbs should be able to lead with biblical conviction and say, in essence, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. But doing so with your head screwed on straight, knowing how to walk with the Lord, also understanding again God's plan and blueprint of the local church, as that's an integral part of all of this. Secondly, you should be able to teach with accuracy and authority, and obviously to do that, you need good exegesis as well as the ability to deliver the message expositorily. And thirdly, you should be able to serve the Lord and others with effectiveness. As indeed, it's all about service. It's not about glamour. It's not about the limelight. It's not about others seeing you. It's really about serving Jesus Christ and others and doing it effectively. Thirdly, our focus in Gibbs, again, will be on biblical understanding. We want you to know the Word of God. On personal growth, we want to encourage you keep growing in the Lord. And thirdly, and most of all, in a sense, ministry preparation. Because we really can't produce spiritual growth. Only the Lord can do that. But we can help equip you for the work of ministry God has for you in whatever way He sees fit. And you see, we're really convinced about the local church advantage. That there are certain advantages of doing all this training in the local church, by pastors, in a context for ministry in which you will be involved in the church, to the church, and through the local church. For it's the real deal. It's the front lines. It's not a sterile but dynamic context. You know, it kind of reminds me when I went to Bible college, very sterile in a lot of ways, you know, versus the real deal. And this is the real deal. You know, we don't have to have all these rules and regulations about what time you go to bed and what you do here and that, because it's just the real thing. Either you live your life as unto the Lord or you don't. And you do it whatever context of maturity you have and so forth. So you don't have to kind of put on a face and, you know, sneak off campus and do, you know, what you do as unto the Lord. You know, as I think of the blueprint of the body again, we've seen from Ephesians 4 that we're convinced God has given gifted men to the church in order to perfect or equip the saints so they can do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the need for equipped servants to teach the Word of God is multiple. multiple reasons and needs. You know, I mentioned this before, but effective teachers in our local churches are needed. And they're always needed because our churches focus on the teaching of the Word of God. Church planting opportunities are available as well, like in Antigo, and I'd love to see more of this in the future if the Lord were to lead. Possible need for future pastors in various places. Have you noticed we're not getting younger? You know, I turned 60 this year, and I'm not getting younger. And obviously there's going to be a need for pastors in various places down the road. National ministry opportunities, just think of the Johnsons in space this summer, and even Katie Morrison and Jen Parchin and others, and survey evangelism training, even Romans workshops. I'd love to see us doing workshops on Romans in various places around the country if the Lord were to lead. And then international opportunities via the Grace Institutes we're involved in, and who knows what the Lord has in mind. And by the way, you don't need to know where you will land in future ministry. And this is one of the things I tried to communicate in the checkups. You don't need to know that. What you do need to be concerned about is not the outcome, but the process. Walking with the Lord, growing in the Lord, being faithful to what He has for you, leaving the result with the Lord. And the Lord knows exactly how to direct you. But keep in mind that we do know this, that the harvest truly is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And as I've underscored throughout your GIVES training, the need is great. It's great here in the United States. It's great around the world for grace-oriented Bible teaching, starting with a clear gospel, everywhere we seem to go. Now, a year ago, we changed into different phases with different emphasis. Phase one is about getting established in sound doctrine. Phase two is getting expanded in sound doctrine. Phase three is getting equipped to do independent exegesis and effective exposition. The goal is to have developed the tools and skills to do independent exegesis and expository preaching. Last year, the emphasis was more on exegesis. This year, it will be on expository preaching. The last year of GIVES, should you choose to accept this mission, is exposure to multiple ministry functions and experiences with special concentration on future ministry direction. It's going to be more focused, more saturated, as well as a lot of exposure to a lot of things, just so you are familiar with it. Now, in our Pondering the Page last year, we began with seven key truths you can't afford to forget. So let's see if you forgot them or not. The seven M's, and I'd like you to write them down at this time. And ideally, I'd like you to write them in the correct order that they were taught, which isn't the exact correct order of the passage. Seven M's will give you 1 minute to do this. You can kind of blame one of the students for that. I won't mention his name, but he said to me, you're probably going to ask us those seven M's, aren't you? And I thought, well, I wasn't even planning to do it, but now that he brought it up, that wasn't a bad idea. So. Okay, did you get your seven? Okay, here we go. Number one was your mission. It started in verse 2, which was to pass the baton of truth on. Your means of doing that was the grace that's in Christ Jesus. The message was around the Word of God, in particular the Gospel of Grace. The mindset, again, was to endure hardship, and the mental focus was to stay singular focused, seeking to please the Lord. The method was to do God's will, God's way, to run according to the rules, and the motives was found again, centered around Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and people. And so those are the seven things we looked at from 2 Timothy chapter 2 last year. And I guess we could add, obviously, things like 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, and the love of Christ that motivates us in all of this, and the fact that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, as we think of even 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Again, and I got this from Brett Nasworth, who developed this. But again, the Lord Jesus Christ gave His word to John and Peter and Paul and others. From there, they were involved in committing this to faithful men who were able to teach others also. And in doing so, there's this unbroken chain is the objective of the communication of truth. From location to location, from person to person, from generation to generation, that people would know the truth of the Word of God and the truth would set them free. And like Jeremiah chapter 1, when we were studying that in the National Crisis series, God in His sovereignty has you right where He wants you. In your place of service, in 2014, just like Esther for such a time as this. And I have a lot of comfort in that. That in the sovereign plan of God in human history, He had me born in 1954. I got saved in 1973. He knew that. He knew that. And He wanted me to be saved. And He made it available that He didn't make me get saved. And in doing so, He's had a plan for my life, even amidst all the circumstances around me. And it's comforting to know He knows exactly He wanted me here at this time for such a time as this. He wants you there as well. But keep in mind, like we've seen in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 in the past, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. And you're to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be misunderstood by people. At times you're going to be wrongly judged by people. But the important thing is that you are faithful to the Lord. Faithful as a servant of Christ, faithful as a steward of His Word. And to do so, you must daily access His grace resources and faith rest in Him with active dependence and passive production. Is it worth it? Well, Jim Elliot said it well when he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You know, I'm reminded in Colossians 1, 28 and 29 of these words as well. Him we preach. And by the way, is there any greater message that we could preach? Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, what He's done and what He's accomplished. Him we preach. The method is participles, two of them which I think are participles of means, by warning every man and by teaching every man in all wisdom. And we have an objective in mind that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Very similar to the Great Commission. Very similar to 2 Timothy 2:2. Not just leading them to Christ, wanting them to be a mature believer when they stand before the Lord. To this end, what end is this? To this end, namely to present every man perfect in Christ, I also labor, which sets forth a little bit of the exhaustion. And by the way, gifts training is really good for you in a lot of ways. It's not merely what you're learning and the skill set you're developing, but the process is very important as well. Learning how to walk with the Lord and faith rest and balance demands and at times be exhausted. ministry is exhausting. You know, for these pastors who, and missionaries, you know, like this one missionary, I was at this conference, maybe I shared this with you, and a lady came up to me later and she asked about us supporting someone in El Salvador, and they said, would you mind if I asked you how much you supported him? I said, well, he's $1,000 a month and an expense account of, I think it was $6,000 or $8,000 at that time. Now, that's gone up since Kale's moved to San Salvador. And she said, wow. She said, we're supporting a missionary in Honduras at $120,000 a year. And I said to her, something is seriously wrong. And they say they like to go to Honduras because the fishing and hunting is really good up there. So. I also labor, striving according to His working. There's the enablement, which works in me mightily. Now notice, it doesn't work by me. It works in me. And we see again the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I like what Nate Saint said. People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives, and when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted. Yes, the need is great, and the Lord has called us to be a witness where He's placed us and where He may move us one day. And we want to indeed be faithful as a servant and a steward for Jesus' sake. And so, Acts 20:24 is a verse, again, I remind you of. Though you're familiar with it, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You know, when it says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that is so contrary to our natural instincts. If you don't believe me, just look at health care. Look at how everyone wants health care. Why do they want health care? Because, unlike Paul, we count our lives dear to ourselves, you know? And I'm not saying health care is wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to take care of your body. I probably should take care of mine more. But the whole point I'm after is Paul had an attitude in which he was, in a sense, sold out for Jesus Christ. He was convinced of the message. He was convinced of the calling. He was convinced of the resources. And he wanted his life to count. He wanted to finish his race and do it with joy. And he wanted to finish that ministry that the Lord Jesus gave him to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And by God's grace, I want that to be true in my life. And by God's grace, I hope that's what you are thinking as well. So you need to remember, do you remember the seven M's now? Again, mission. And for the mission, we need the right means, because we are preaching the right message. And in doing so, we're going to experience hardship. So we need to have the right mindset. And in doing so, we need to have the right mental focus. And in doing so, we need to remember we have to do God's word, God's will, God's way, which involves the right method. And we need to have the right motives as well, if we're going to be faithful to do God's will, God's way, and for God's glory. You know, I've shown this before. This is quite a convicting gravestone, isn't it? I wonder how many believers, if the truth was known, would have a gravestone like this: life wasted, reward lost. Christian life is worth it. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And by the way, neither are your studies and gifts. You're doing them as unto the Lord, and you're learning to be faithful, and you're taking in the Word of God, and you're applying in your life, and you're getting equipped for a teaching ministry. That labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain eternally, because if you did it as unto the Lord, He will take that into consideration and reward you accordingly. And it's not in vain in time either, if you're willing to let the Lord use you in whatever way He sees fit. So at the beginning of a new semester, I thought it would really be helpful to kind of just stir up the pot here mentally and remember, what's this all about tonight? Why are we here? And is it worth it? And I'm convinced that it is. And I trust that you are as well. Let's pray.